Our scripture reading is taken from Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your heavenly Father may forgive you and your sins. I like seeing smiling faces. It stops me from getting nervous. Yes, I do get nervous. Once I start talking, you can't stop me, but once it gets started, I still get nervous. Our sermon this morning is, and it came to pass. Father God, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to share what you've blessed us with, your word, that you've given us a blessing that we can look in your words to comfort us and share with others. I pray that we can all find something from today that we can leave here with that will encourage us and encourage us to encourage others. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Neville and Doreen Lawrence lost their son in an unprovoked knife crime. They fought for justice for their son for many years, but it took their toll on their marriage. In an interview on the radio, I heard Neville Lawrence say he carried this hatred for the boys who killed his son for many years on a piece of paper, just so he wouldn't forget their names, so he can pray them harm. And then he said he sat in a meeting where another couple had lost their own child, and how peaceful they were, and he couldn't understand how they were so peaceful. Because they took part in this scheme where they would meet the perpetrators of their child's death to let the people know how they felt, but most important, to let the people know that they'd forgiven them. Neville said, "How can you forgive them what they've done?" But then he looked on the peace on their face and realize they have something that I do not have. And he said, "I'm going to forgive the ones that killed my boy." And he did. He said in the interview, "I can't even remember the boy's name sometimes. And I used to have to walk on a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget. But that forgiveness," he said, "I didn't forgive them for them. I forgave them for me and then them." He said, "Whenever I give talks now, I let people know you have to let these things go." Mark chapter 11, verse 25 said, "When you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against your brother, and to let it go and forgive them, so your heavenly Father can forgive you." Genesis chapter 37. A naive 17-year-old boy, a young man, best loved of 13 children in total, would tell tales on his brothers. He would be classed as a goody two-shoes, a tattletale. If his big brothers were up to no good, Joseph would go running back to daddy to make his brothers mad. Now, that wasn't his main reason for doing that, but it would. I used to tell on my brothers. Didn't do it often. It hurt. Now, Jacob loved Joseph more than the other children, probably because he was the child of his old age and best loved of his wives. This wasn't very wise, because this caused resentment. Why can't you be like Joseph? I hear him say. The brothers would say, why did you have to tell daddy? I've heard that before. I remember one time my mum asked me, who did such and such? And I said, well, all I'm saying is it wasn't me. Who did it? I'm not saying. All I'm saying is it wasn't me. But you must know. Yes, I know. But I'm not saying. Why? It's too painful. You find out yourself. My brothers appreciate that a lot. Well, if you behave, I hear Joseph saying to his brother, if you behaved yourself, I wouldn't have anything to tell. Now, Joseph loved his father, and he loved God, and he loved listening to the Bible stories. We call it Bible stories now, but they were history stories of what happened to his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and all those in history of where God has blessed. Now, I think about Joseph. Now, Joseph was, well, he was a young lad, but I wonder if he wasn't that bright. Because, I mean, he was one of the youngest of his brothers. I guess they weren't small or short. I guess they're probably big brothers. I'm only guessing, of course. But then they didn't say that they hurt him in any way, but they had horrible words to say about him. Why you do this? Why you do that? And then came the straw that we say broke the camel's back, or how they say it, what the term is. Joseph was given a coat of many colors. If that don't be all. Number one, he's loved by daddy. He's a favorite child. And now daddy gives him a coat. Now, if you've ever had something that only you've had, it's very hard to keep it to yourself and sharing the love that you have of that said item. I guess Joseph's probably no different. But in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 4, I imagine his brothers would say, this isn't fair. What about us? Now, they were resentful. And this resentful turned to hatred. Isn't it enough that we've been treated this way, but now he has a coat to show off? Now then in verse 5 to 10, Joseph now has a dream. You can feel the atmosphere happening. Joseph tells his brothers of his dream and how they're going to bow down to him. But that actually, he didn't actually give the actual interpretation. He just told what the dream was. And they said to him, are we to bow down before you? Are you to be a lord above us? And that wasn't bad enough. Joseph had another dream. And this time, it affected his mum and his dad. He said the sun and the moon would bow down and the sheaves would bow down. Now, this was it. This was the last straw. Having told his brothers of his dream, I imagine it didn't help much at all. Genesis 37, verse 12 to 14. Jacob, who's now known as Israel, sends his beloved son Joseph to go and check on his brothers. I assume perhaps they haven't been keeping in touch with mum and dad, with dad I mean, and rest of everyone else who's at home. But he says, go and find out and bring back news as to what's happening. Now, Joseph's response was immediate. Yes, I will go. Full of enthusiasm to find out what his brother's doing. But surely he must have known that this was pushing it. Spying on his brothers wouldn't have been a wise thing to do. The Bible says he didn't expect any trouble from his brothers. He must have loved them without realizing the problem he put himself in. But his father sent him away to find where his brothers were. They said the journey he went to was about 45 miles, about 4 days' journey. Now Joseph went to where his brother should have been, and this was in Shalem, but he didn't find them. The land in Shalem was supposed to be a lush and fruitful land, very good for minding sheep. When he arrives, he doesn't find his brothers or the sheep. A stranger found Joseph wandering in the field and informs Joseph that his brothers are not here. Then he said, now your brothers have gone to Dothan. I heard them say they're taking the cattle there. Why would they go there? I hear Joseph asking. This wasn't where they were told their father they would go. Probably to get away from him, their troublesome brother, the tattletale, the troublesome Joseph. Growing up, we had to tell our parents whenever we left the house where we were going. We didn't see what the fuss was all about because, I mean, if we left the house, wherever you go, it doesn't really matter. Well, so long we come back. But we found out that one time when we said we were going place A, we went there. But then after we got bored, we went to place B. We didn't tell our parents. So for 2 hours we were out enjoying life, then we came back. The place where we originally told our parents we were going, there was an accident, a bad accident. Our parents were worried. Where's our boys? What, they were there, what happened? So then eventually when we got home, smiles and joy, and we couldn't understand what the worry's about until they told us. And then we realized that perhaps it is a good idea to let people know where you're going. Perhaps it is a good idea that if you say you're going to go someplace, go someplace. We had a painful reminder that our parents knew best, and not to let them worry was a good idea. You can work out for yourself. Verse 17, Joseph gets to Dothan, about 15 miles away from where their journey was supposed to have been, about a day's journey. In verse 18, but his brothers see him afar off, even before he came near. Joseph's big, not-so-loving brothers plots to kill him. They've had enough. They just know Joseph will give a report back to Daddy as to where they've been and the fact that they weren't where they should have been. Verses 21 to 22, Reuben, the older brother, his half-brother, the son of Leah, spoke up and said, let's not hurt him. Let's throw him in a pit. Having done a bit of study, these pits that they were going to throw him in weren't always empty. Some of them had water in. Some even had snakes in. As it happened, this was empty. In verse 23, it says, and it came to pass. The brothers are unhappy with Joseph, they strip him of his cloak of many colors and throw him down the pit. I would probably imagine that if you knew your life was in peril, you probably would have fought back and said, if I'm going down, I'm going to get at least one of them. Perhaps Joseph was just a nice boy and he just took it in his stride. And I wouldn't have done, even though my bigger brother was a big boy. But then it says that while he was down the pit, he must have worried, well, I've done everything you asked me to do, God. Why is this happening to me? He would probably have said a prayer about the beating he probably took from his brothers. His older brothers would have probably told him in no certain terms how they didn't like how he was treating them. In verse 24, it said, God had not abandoned Joseph. Though Joseph was in trouble and troubles upon him, trouble wasn't going to last always. Joseph trusted in God, and he trusted the God of his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and his father. He was thankful that his brothers didn't kill him, thankful that he just put in an empty pit with no snakes. He was thankful the fact that he was still alive. He probably didn't know what was coming ahead. Now in verse 25 it says, the brothers sat down to eat, probably the same food that Joseph had brought for them, while the young lad is down the pit. And they must have enjoyed that meal, so we finally got hold of Joseph. Judah sees a merchant, and he says, let's sell him. So this is between 26 and 28. They sell him for 20 pieces of silver. I imagine Joseph being pulled out the pit, wondering, my brothers have come to their senses. They realize the folly of their ways. Until he realized the reality sank in that he wasn't going to go home. This all came to pass. But why was it taking so long? Joseph's brothers had sold Joseph, and even though Reuben didn't decide to kill him, they were all guilty to teach him a lesson. The brothers plot to deceive now their father. They had to now, they can't just get rid of Joseph without telling his father what had happened. So they came up with a plot to say that your favorite son, unfortunately, was killed by wild animals. And here is the bloody garment as what's happened. So now we've gone from daddy having a favorite to envy Prince brothers to hatred and then to loss. In Genesis chapter 39, we look at Joseph, who's now been sold to an Egyptian captain of Pharaoh's guards, Potiphar. And in verse 2 it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. But Joseph was taken from his parents. He was thrown down a pit. He was sold. He's now a slave. But it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. In verse 3, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Even Potiphar could see a difference. He could see a difference in his household and how Joseph's God affected his household. And it came to pass Potiphar now put Joseph over his household, over everything he owned. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian household for Joseph's sake. Not just in Potiphar's house, but in his field. Potiphar left everything in Joseph's hand. Joseph, a slave, a Hebrew. Just when all was going so good for Joseph, even as a slave, in verse 7, then it came to pass, Potiphar's wife now had an eye on Joseph. Well, what more can go wrong? Now, Joseph training now continues, because now he's gone from a naive young man, he's now learning very quickly on his feet, because now he's in a big bad world of how to survive. But the most important thing, he knows that God is with him. He knows that he's now homesick, but even so, he knows God is with him. He just had to stay out of Potiphar's wife's way, because he knows that something good cannot come out of this. Joseph loved Potiphar, and he kept turning down Potiphar's wife's advances to lie with her. In verse 9, Joseph spells it out. My master has put me in sole charge of everything in this household except you. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? They all knew his God had something to do with why things were going so well in Potiphar's house. One day, it came to pass that Joseph noticed on one of his visits in the house, there were no men around. And then he knew he was in trouble. Potiphar's wife caught hold of his garments, and Joseph ran. Oh, if we would only run when subtle danger arises. If we would only run. No, we stay there saying, I'm strong, I can do this. I know martial arts. I can look after myself. I can do all this. Be careful what you think you're strong with, because that's what you'll fail. Joseph has just been promoted head of the household, and now this. He ran and left his garment. Now, I was imagining what sort of garment would I have left and gone back for? And I looked up a garment, a Laura piano, a Norton jacket. I never heard that before. I look it up. £13,000. I might have gone back for that. A winter voyage overcoat from Gucci. £26,000. I might have gone back for that. How about this? They had a garment, a Magnu insulation winter garment, £141,900. I might have gone back for that. No. Joseph knew he was in trouble, and he ran and left his garment behind. But yet still, Potiphar's wife were unhappy with what's happened. And so she now, with a loud voice, shouts out, she probably shout out rape, probably shout out, oh, look what's happened. Is this now, news now got back to Potiphar. And Potiphar, verse 19 to 20, is now very angry with Joseph, and he throws him to prison. But Potiphar could not have believed his wife was telling the truth, because that kind of accusation was a death sentence. But to save face for his wife, he threw him in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. His training continues. But why? Joseph was innocent. Why me? Joseph loved the Lord. He loved what the Lord has done, and he trusted the Lord. But do I have to do it in prison? But you know something? In verse 21 to 23, it said, the Lord showed mercy and gave favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Very soon, Joseph was in charge of the prison, of the prisoners. Only the one was in front of him was the keeper of the prison himself. Genesis chapter 40, we hear that two visitors to the prison was a butler and a baker. We probably know the story. And they had a dream. And Joseph answers their dream. Now, Joseph couldn't do it by himself. It's because of God why they have to answer the dream. Now, he has one thing he says to the butler. As you know you're going to be freed, please remember me. Of course I will. Yet, it took 2 years before this came to pass. In Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh now has a dream. 2 years has passed. Joseph is still in prison, but God is with him. Pharaoh is troubled by his dream. He calls his wise men, and they can't answer it. Joseph's name is now called, because now the butler remembers, oh my gosh, oh, I should have told you, there's a Hebrew in the prison who knows about dreams. He told me what happened to me and what happened to the baker, and what he said came to pass. Pharaoh's now interested. Pharaoh's now interested in what's happened. So now Joseph is now taken from the prison. And he must have not been in that good shape to see Pharaoh, so he had to clean him up a bit. Pharaoh now tells Joseph his dream. And Joseph tells him the interpretation, but he gives credit to God. And he says, you need to put someone in charge, so in the 7 good years, you can collect up the grain and the food, so as when the 7 bad years, you have someone who is good enough to look after your household. Pharaoh says, well, you know something? With what you've told me, I don't know anyone else who can fit the bill. Joseph is now put above Pharaoh's household, above the kingdom, second only unto Pharaoh. The story is about God being with Joseph. By this time, if Joseph had not forgiven Potiphar's wife, the jailer, the butler, he couldn't have grown. He couldn't have fulfilled what God had planned for him in his training. It took all these things. Now, Joseph was 17 years old when he's taken from his parents. Joseph is now 30. 30. How many years has that been? This sermon has a part 2, by the way. 7 years he's put in charge. 7 years. But it didn't come by himself. It came because he trusted God. He trusted God, and the Bible said he trusted the God of his great-grandparents, trusted God of his grandparents, trusted God of his parents, which means he had training. That teaches us something, doesn't it? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, it doesn't say he won't make mistakes. When we went to school, we learned our 2 times table, our 4 times table, our 9 times table, our 12 times table. We had to say every morning at school, 1, 2's a 2, 2, 2's a 4. I'm not going to go any further, I won't embarrass myself. We learned all this. We even had school books with our times table on there to learn them. Do they do that now? No. But yet still, we couldn't afford not to learn our times table, because those days you got punished and it weren't words. But you, so you soon had a reason for learning them. Joseph learnt all these things about what God was like, was brought down, all these stories brought down from his ancestors right to present. He now had something he could now share with his children to come. But if he hadn't learned his lesson, how could he have shared? How could he have answered the question to his brothers why the dream he had back then would be paramount for their survival, for his father's survival, for his brothers' survival, for all that family's survival? But the most important thing is, in all this, it says, and it came to pass. We're going to go through trouble. And our problem isn't, will the trouble pass? Our question should be, is God with us in the trouble? And while it's passing and we are learning and going stronger day by day in teaching our children, teaching ourselves, and following the lessons we teach our children ourselves, we learn that God is with us. Petrol is rising, God is with us. Bread is going up, God is with us. Cost of oil has gone up, God is with us. Because one thing he says, he will never give us what we cannot bear. Everything we have, we owe it to him. So our question, like I said, should be, can God see us through this trouble as it passes? God is with us.